News and interviews from your community every morning on WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Mark Lawrence here at the anchor desk. Rob Senders on his side of the glass, and so we appreciate that. His help and hard work, one of his important jobs, making sure that the WKOK podcast page gets loaded on it after our interview today. It'll be an opportunity for us to enjoy a place in the archive of our interview. So you'll hear that coming up on WKOK. Podcast page if you would like to hear that. All of our interviews are there, and so it's an opportunity for you to enjoy past interviews and maybe learn some good information maybe you didn't know in the past. So that's all good stuff. All right, the interview itself. Mr. Riverkeeper himself, John Zaktansky, is back. Middle Susquehanna Riverkeeper himself. He's the executive director of the Middle Susquehanna Riverkeeper Association as well. You also serve as chair of the board or president of the board of directors of your group also?
Actually, we have a board president. We have a board that continues to grow. And if anyone's interested in getting involved with our association, we're always looking for new ideas and fresh perspectives.
Well, you got a real blue ribbon panel there of folks on that board. It is really something. Those are the real doers around here in terms of people who are the advocates and sort of involved, associated with regulation and making sure that the river stays clean. All right. If folks may have forgotten what a river keeper does and is, and what the Middle Susquehanna Riverkeeper Association is, remind us about all that.
Please. Sure. Yeah. Now we protect and promote our river-based resources. So the Susquehanna River obviously comes through and from the north and the north branch and the west branch, and the watershed that basically everywhere it rains, when it flushes eventually into the Susquehanna River, that's the watershed. We cover an 11,000 square mile stretch that everything that drains into eventually the north and west branch and the upper part of the main stem, and then below that there is a lower Susquehanna Riverkeeper. And so our job is to try to protect all of those tributaries and creeks and lakes and other waterways that eventually feed into the river. And it's a big area, and that's why we're constantly looking for new stewards and new people to get involved. But it's a really cool opportunity to get out to share information about river-based issues and to connect with new people.
Well, and I think folks may not realize the groups and organizations and individuals and river keepers and stewards. Think of the River Trail Association. They specifically use stewards, right, for various islands and so on?
Yes, they do. Yeah, they have a steward connection as well, and so we want to continue, and we work with them with some of their stewards. It's we want to continue to build our affiliations with all of these groups that do amazing jobs throughout the area. We can do quite a bit if we all work together, and we're finding new ways to do that.
So what's a daily work day? I know the Middle Susquehanna Riverkeeper Association has an office at Front and Market Street in that historic building. Tom Boop, the landlord, I guess, the attorney. Mm-hmm. And so what do you do first? Walk over to the wall and look over there, make sure it's still there, and then what?
Yeah, the river's still there. I have to cross the bridge. I live in Sealands Grove, so I have to cross the bridge and make sure the river's still flowing through, and every day it's been so far, so that's always a positive. And then go to the... every day is really different. Some days I'm at the office working on grant research and getting stuff out and connecting with people. There's a ton of meetings and Zoom calls and different things like that that we do at our office. But then there's other days like yesterday where I was on the Hiawatha paddle boat doing a floating classroom in the morning with 60 people, different families and stuff like that. And it was a really cool experience just being out on the river. There's other times where I'm out, checking water quality. Just last week was doing a bunch of water testing in a certain area of our watershed for residential wells, and I'm excited to see what those results are so we can help those homeowners get cleaner water. And every day is a little bit different, which is what's the exciting part of this job.
Well, you happen to be a family man, so you try to instill some of this interest and love of the outdoors in general in your family?
Oh, definitely. And that's one of the things that, one of the reasons I took this job is because it allows me to engage and get our daughters and my wife and I out. We do when I go on kayaking trips or different things like that, I can incorporate them. Yesterday, again, on the floating classroom, both my daughters were there helping out and learning along with me, and it was a really cool experience. But we love the outdoors. When I was a kid, I went out with my parents, and those experiences ultimately drove what I'm doing today, and I'd love to see them do the same, and we'd love to inspire that same excitement for the outdoors in other children and families throughout the region.
Yeah, I'm 60-some years old, but I can tell you all the times I was boating when I was 5, 6, 7, 8 years old with my dad, or fishing, or out camping, whatever it happened to be. So, yeah, we definitely, it definitely creates a lifelong learning. And then you get away from it for a time sometimes, and then you get reminded when you get drawn back. People are drawn to water. What is it about the water, and people are drawn to nature and water? What is that?
I think there's a certain amount of unstructured creative time that people can get from being outdoors that draws, you know, in a world where things are super structured and super stressful, when you get outdoors and there's a certain flow to things and a way to disconnect, there's a call to that, especially nowadays, more than ever, you know, with COVID and the opportunities to do outdoor activities where you can't do things that people typically did in the past, to recreate and to interact with each other. The outdoors offer this really cool canvas, and people can get out there and enjoy that together as families or as friends, and it's just a really neat draw. And I've seen so many therapeutic aspects, even when I worked at a group home for troubled teenagers, some of the biggest gains we made with some of those kids were when we took them out horseback riding or canoeing and kayaking or camping. It just opened these really cool doors, therapeutic doors, where we were able to make differences, and it's something that more people need to connect to if they haven't already.
Well, you have been so fortunate to be surrounded by some musical artists who are able to paint that canvas musically and really to verbalize and to play musically what we're talking about when we talk about this outdoor draw and really what the natural environment has to offer to people. If they just touch it, that's all you really got to do. Just be out among it. You came out with Songs of the Susquehanna Volume 1, which I was so glad to see the word Volume 1 there, because this was my favorite CD, but they have a different vehicle now. It doesn't have a CD player, so I have to... first thing I'm going to do is put this on a thumb drive, but then I think eventually you're going to come down with a downloadable option, right?
Yeah, we've been looking at options to get this downloadable and to get it to more people. People have been asking, and we want to get it out there so people can enjoy this really cool music, and we can help show off the musicians that do such a great job at what they do.
Well, and folks know Don Chappell from around here, and Gary Gykus, K.J. Riemann Snyder Wagner, would be, of course, Hannah Bingman, a big fan of her. Van Wagner, I hope you know him around here by now. But, and these are just a few of the artists that are on this CD, which CDs are still available and for sale. As I recall, $20?
$15, actually.
Okay,
yeah.
Super. All right, so very affordable. Go to MiddleSusquehannaRiverKeeper.org, and he'll arrange to make sure that you can get one of these. And as soon as the downloadable option is out there, we'll probably just do another news story to announce, because that's going to be a big plus for folks. So we can work on that. We have an excerpt of this CD. I'm going to play it right now. And it's Hannah Bingman singing her song, Susquehanna and River. Susquehanna and River. And this is particularly timely because she's going to be on the Hiawatha Saturday with you for the float. So before I play that, set the scene on the cruise, not the float, that's set for this week.
Yeah, no, that would be great. We're looking for a way to show off our musicians and do concerts, and obviously it's been a challenge this year with the circumstances, and we have this great affiliation with the Hiawatha Paddle Boat, so we're doing a benefit concert cruise. We have four musicians that are involved with this project who are going to be there. Tickets are only $15 a person, and you get 2 hours on the Hiawatha here in the fall. Leaves are just starting to turn, and it's going to be a great night, a great backdrop, and some great music to hear.
Yeah, it's in the northern area. We were up in the northern tier recently, and we thought, oh my gosh, it's fall up there. Lives are changing. Okay, so Hannah Bingman here, and we have this excerpt from the CD, Songs of the Susquehanna. Describe this song for our audience, please.
It's a unique song. It's a song where Susquehanna and River are two different characters, and throughout the song, it basically touches upon the issue of hunger, and and ways to improve that, and some of what we do is environmental justice, and it really touches upon those topics and draws it together into this song.
Wow, I've listened to the song a dozen times, and I didn't gather all that, but now that you mention it, I can see where that's in there. Okay, Hannah Bingman, this is just an excerpt of her song that's on the Songs of the Susquehanna, and she'll be on the Hiawatha this Saturday, 6 to 8 p.m., Hiawatha Paddle Boat up in Williamsport, Middle Susquehanna Riverkeeper.org, the place to get the rest of the information. She's singing with this, I'm going to call this a deep song because it relates to the river.
It's not a fish to find these days. I clasp my hands, kneel down and pray. My brother and I will live out our hungry days. Susquehanna filters out my mother, named me after that trout. She got inside a net before the chemicals and all. Just wait for the mercury to fall.
Well, I could listen to every song on this CD all day long, and I could listen to her all day long. We've seen her at a wide range of events and venues around here, so always glad to see that. So, Songs of the Susquehanna, the CD, four of the artists this Saturday. Make a pitch and more detail about the Saturday's cruise.
Yeah, again, being on the Hiawatha is a really cool experience, and not everyone's been able to do that in our area, and I would definitely highly encourage you, if you never have, just come for the ride itself. It's amazing, and a great staff up there. Above and beyond that, like I said, these songs are really cool, and the musicians are going to share the songs from the Susquehanna CD that we have, but then also some of their own personal music that they have, and it's going to be a really cool mix of different types of styles, and something that I think is going to be memorable for everyone who comes on board. And again, it's only $15 a person for a two-hour cruise. You can't beat that.
All right, super. That is this Saturday, 6 to 8 to p.m. John Zaktansky is with us, Middle Susquehanna Riverkeeper. We're going to come back at 7:40 this morning and talk more with him, and we'll get into some of the issues that he addresses. He talked about oil spills recently. He's talked about some of the real rock stars around here. Doug Fessler comes to mind, just a great guy in Sunbury that's really monitoring and cleaning up. No piece of litter stays on either side of him when he's out along the riverway. So we'll be talking about some of the things that you blogged and podcasted about in some of your interviews. And I love your board of directors page where you do a brief interview with each of the board members. That is extremely telling. You know, I mean, anybody can join a board and, you know, help out a nonprofit organization. But when you find out these people find that this is, you know, almost a lifelong connection they've been looking for to have this kind of opportunity, that's great to hear. Middle Susquehanna Riverkeeper, we'll continue our conversation at 7:40.
Politics, sports, entertainment. Yeah, we've got that. It's WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Back in the studio with us now, John Zaktansky is here, Middle Susquehanna Riverkeeper, Executive Director of the Susquehanna the Middle Susquehanna Riverkeeper Association. I sometimes ask about the state of the river. How are we doing? What are the trends, please?
Sure. The river has come a long ways. You know, we've dealt with a lot of major issues, but there's always new issues that pop up and things that go through. So we've talked in the past and more recently about issues with abandoned mine drainage. Is an issue that's been affecting waters as close as to this area as the Shamokin Creek, and it branches out. There's creeks that run orange with high iron counts, and there's other creeks that you don't see it immediately, but things where iron is dropping out and acid levels are off the mark, and it can be pretty intense when it comes to some of these abandoned mine drainage group issues. And there's groups out there that are helping address it, and we're working with them. And it's cool to see. On a flip side, there's issues with erosion and sedimentation. We talk about, you know, heavy rains like we're expecting tomorrow, and they go up over the banks and they start eroding away, and that extra sediment that gets into the
into the water causes a whole ripple effect of issues that we continue to try to fight and deal with and shore up stream banks.
Yeah, we sometimes talk about the sediment that's in the river, this brown water that you see. That's our soil heading downstream. You know, we're losing part of the valley.
Yeah. I mean, it's constantly flowing in, and it's changing the bottoms of our creeks and our river, and some of the creatures, from crayfish to hellbenders and others that rely on the rocky surfaces on the bottom, ultimately are getting covered up, and it's impacting them. And as they're impacted, it impacts bigger species all the way up through the ecosystem.
Now, you recently talked in your blog about an oil sheen in particular and oil sheens in general. So reiterate some of the key points there.
Sure. Yeah, we thought it would be important to educate. There's been some oil spill issues, not directly in our watershed, but just next to it. So we thought it was a good time to reach out to the DEP and get some feedback on if someone's walking along a waterway and they see kind of that rainbowy type hue across the top that typically is associated with oils or petroleums in general, how to deal with that, when to report it and stuff like that. There are naturally occurring bacterias that cause a similar type substance across the top. And so we shared ways on determining if it's that or if it's something petroleum based, and that basically comes down to stirring it with a stick or throwing a rock into it, breaking it up, and then watching what happens. And if it stays broken up in blocks, then it's a naturally occurring bacteria and not much can be done. If it swirls together and comes right back and covers up like it used to, it's a potential petroleum issue, and it's something worth reporting.
And well, particularly if you see it near civilization, is what you're going to see. You're going to be going through a Sunbury or a Danville or upriver town and see the sheen next to where the built-out community goes right up to the riverbank, and that, you hate to see that, but these oil sheens are relatively common, really. You mentioned earlier the hellbender. So, honest to Pete, half our audience is saying, the what? Still.
Yeah, I know. They're the state amphibian, and they're a really unique looking creature that lives under the waterways, under big, large rocks they enjoy. They get to be large. They're our country's largest amphibian. They can grow up to 2 feet and beyond, 4 to 5 pounds, and they aren't really pretty to look at to most people. They've come with nicknames such as snot otter and old lasagna sides, and it's one of those things where people kind of like, oh, what's worth protecting them? But their numbers are dropping drastically throughout our watershed, places up in Loyalsock, Lycoming, and all the way up through creeks, all the way up through the top of our watershed. And there's people out there that are working hard to try to change that trend and to reintroduce hellbenders. Is a really cool program we got to tag along with Dr. Peter Patokas out of Lycoming College, and it was a really cool opportunity to see. We helped them release 124 juvenile hellbenders to the upper ends of our watershed, and it was a neat experience to see how they're working together to raise these hellbenders, starting in the Bronx Zoo as eggs, and eventually as they become a little bit older, getting them out in the waterways, and how they're improving habitat, and they're an important species because they're an indicator species. If there's a water quality issue, they're one of the first creatures to let us know that there's a problem, and not having them around is an issue. So.
Well, not having them around is they're doing that indicative thing that they do, right? The water's threatened with cloudiness and or chemicals?
Mm-hmm. They breathe like a lot of salamanders, and especially them with their folded skin sides, they breathe right through their skin. So if there's a contaminant that gets into the water, they're one of the first ones that ultimately are impacted directly by the contaminants. And again, we talked about sedimentation a minute ago. It covers up these large rocks. They don't have a place to hide. So again, they're really important indicators, kind of like the canary in the coal mine type concept, but in the water. And losing them as a species is a danger. And it shows us that we have waters to continue to clean up and work on.
Yeah, we have to be aware of that. Okay, so you did come out with a CD. Did it come out earlier this year?
Yeah, it was earlier this year.
Wow.
In March, we had the CD out, and we're excited about continuing to do that project.
And you're looking for more songs. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we're starting November 1st through January 31st of 2022. We're going to be collecting new songs. So anyone that has songs that are inspired by the river, get out your pens and start writing up some lyrics and putting it to music. And we'd love to hear what you have, and we'll put it out for everyone to hear and help us get some feedback on. And we'll be developing volume 2 of our CD early next year.
And there's enough music out there?
Oh, yeah.
Well, a lot of people. I mean, Van Wagner could fill up half a dozen. Well, he has filled up a dozen CDs on his own, but just related to the river and the history of the river and the waterway and the eels and shad and every other thing. But all your other artists have some other good river songs. I mean, it's going to be a matter of can you top this, because this CD, Songs of the Susquehanna, is just enchanting throughout the whole thing.
Well, thanks. Yeah, it's a great collaboration of different songs, and we're always looking for diversity and variety in what we're offering. So, you know, we're excited to see what people can have, and you know, songs about the river in general, or tributaries, or the therapeutic aspect, or focusing on creatures such as the hellbender. There could be some fun with some lyrics about that. So, you know, we're open to anything, and we're excited to see what people can produce. And all of it comes back to helping us raise awareness about the river.
Well, and there's an element of fundraising associated with it. You sell the CDs for $15, so you're making a few dollars on them. But
yeah, that helps. And you know, we also during the voting process, or the process where people provide feedback, we're taking donations from people that we're giving back to the musicians who are struggling because of not being able to do gigs and stuff like that during the COVID period. So I think we gave out more than $1,000 in donations to musicians this past year, and we look to expand that this year.
Wow, good for you. Okay, well, and you do have a variety on the first CD, Songs of the Susquehanna Volume 1. Available at middlesusquehannariverkeeper.org. Otson Otson with Barbara Duncan is just an enchanting melodic harmonic song. And then you go down, you wait a couple songs, and then you're enjoying Fanny and the Susquehanna with Tim Walker and Terry Wilde, which is just or the pirate song. What is that called? Susquehanna Pirate, mm-hmm. by Fire in the Glen. Where's Fire in the Glen from? I'm not familiar with them.
They're actually south of us a little bit, but the song is just great. It's a fun song, and you know, someone basically giving up on farming and deciding to become a pirate on the Susquehanna. It's just one of those fun swashbuckling songs that you just kind of, you can't help but kind of tap along to it. So.
Stealing coal, right?
Yeah.
Coal.
Yeah.
Right, coal
barges.
Okay.
Things, yeah.
Joanna Kodlik, William Ryan, Don Chappelle, Grace Kenny, John Fries, Gary Gykus, who we're going to hear one of his excerpts in a moment, K.J. Riemann, Snyder Wagner, let's see, Van Wagner, Hannah Bingman. We played an excerpt of that in the first segment. These are some of the few that I happen to know, but you introduced us to a wide range of others. Here's an excerpt of Gary Gykus, and this is noteworthy because he's going to be on the Hiawatha this Saturday for a fundraising and awareness-raising cruise that's set for the late afternoon. And this is Gary Gykus. The river runs down, noteworthy because it's singing about the Knox Mine disaster, where the river didn't go from left to right and for that moment and went down.
The river runs down, it runs straight down. The river runs down, straight down, in a hole in a deep dark ground. The river runs down, it runs straight down. The river runs down, 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 in a deep dark ground. In the winter of 59, I was only 5 years old. My grandpa was a miner, so I was sold.
All right, so Gary Gykus, The River Runs Down, he's going to be on the Hiawatha on Saturday, so make a pitch for the cruise.
Again, obviously, you're going to hear that song, and you're going to hear a variety of others, and it's such a wide variety. That song, you know, looking at a historical situation, impacting the river, other songs about therapeutics and the recreation of our river, just a wide variety of river songs and other types of songs from really good musicians, and again, on the Hiawatha, you can't beat the location and the venue and the musicians. It's just going to be a great combination, and again, just for $15 a person, it seems like a good bet for everyone.
Don Chappelle's going to be on the Hiawatha this week as well. Who else? One other individual.
Steve Holzlander is going to be there as well, and he's got a pretty big following. He has a song called Down to the Sea on the CD, and again, he's just a really great guy, super talented.
All right. Now, there were going to be a total of six, I think, and two had to skip out because of the world today, and so now the ticket price is down from $25 to just $15 a ticket. It is this Saturday, 6 to 8 p.m. on the Hiawatha Paddle Boat up in Williamsport. All the rest of the details at middlesusquehannariverkeeper.org. We'll give you the last word. Anything to add?
Just again, everyone can make a difference in the waterways that we have, and we're continuing to try to find new ways to do that, and we're soon going to be working on connecting people with our watershed groups, smaller watershed groups, so be watching for that. We'll have new opportunities for people to get out and do things and make a real difference in their backyard, and from picking up litter to just doing the little things around the house to make a true difference, and it all matters. It really does.
John, thank you so much for all you're doing.
Yep, no, thank you for having me.
John Zaktansky, Middle Susquehanna Riverkeeper. All the details about everything we talked about at middlesusquehannariverkeeper.org.